She vanished without a trace, her body burned and buried near a river. The military said nothing. Her family screamed. The world listened. What happened to Vanessa Guillen sparked a movement that broke the silence inside the US Army. This is more than a murder. This is a war for justice, told by someone who watched it all unfold. If you believe in truth, in legacy, in the voices they tried to silence, then press play. Because Vanessa's voice is louder than ever. Welcome to the Murder Tape Chronicles audiobook. If you haven't already, please consider following us on your favorite podcast platform. Today we present to you Murder at Fort Hood. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1. Vanished without a trace. I didn't know it at the time, but April 22, 2020, would split my life in two, before Vanessa disappeared and after. The base was already humming by sunrise, that bone-deep kind of exhaustion in the air you only get after back-to-back weeks of drills, check-ins, maintenance, and the mind-numbing repetition that came with serving at Fort Hood. It wasn't exactly the poster child for military prestige. We were overworked, undersupported, and too many of us were barely holding it together under the weight of it all. But that day had a different kind of tension. It crept under my skin like a warning, silent and sinister. I should have listened to it. We all should have. Vanessa was already gone by the time the rest of us realized she was missing. She didn't show up for roll call that morning. No texts. No excuses. Just absence. And sure, sometimes soldiers go dark. They get fed up. AWOL isn't exactly unheard of. But Vanessa wasn't one of those. You could tell just by how she carried herself. Clean uniform, serious eyes, a mind that always seemed one step ahead. She had a fire in her, this quiet hunger to be more than the world expected. A Mexican-American girl with grit and dreams, and absolutely no tolerance for bullshit. I didn't know her well. We weren't friends, not in the traditional sense. But you didn't have to be close to see her light. You felt it when she walked into a room. She stood tall, even when the system tried to break her down. She had this gravity. People noticed her. Not just because she was beautiful, but because she had purpose. Every step she took felt like it mattered. That morning, they said she left the armory to handle a work order. Something routine. Something she could have done in her sleep. But then the hours started stretching. Her phone didn't ring. She didn't return to her barracks. Her car sat untouched in the lot like a goddamn tombstone. And no one did a damn thing. I remember how the whispers started, little fragments of conversation drifting through the halls like ghosts. She probably took off. Maybe she needed a break. You know how women get. The way some of those assholes said it made my skin crawl. It wasn't just apathy, it was dismissal. Because she was a woman. Because she was brown. Because she wasn't one of them. But then her personal stuff was found. Her keys. Her ID card. Her wallet. All sitting inside the armory. The exact kind of shit you don't just forget, unless you're planning on coming back. Which meant she never made it out. Or if she did, it wasn't on her own. I remember looking down at my own boots, suddenly hyper-aware of how many people had disappeared around this place. Not just soldiers, but women, harassed, assaulted, silenced. The chain of command liked to keep things quiet. Problems disappeared the same way Vanessa did. And for a while it worked. Until her family broke the silence. Myra Guillen was a force of nature. She refused to be ignored. Her voice cracked as she spoke into her phone, live-streaming raw grief and rage to the world. She didn't have PR training. She didn't need it. She had truth, and it was bleeding through every word. She wouldn't leave without telling us. Vanessa wouldn't just vanish, she said, over and over, her hands trembling. Something happened to my sister. The internet listened. People started reposting her videos. Hashtags multiplied like wildfire. Hashtag I am Vanessa Guillen wasn't just a trend, it became a movement. Women, soldiers, veterans, daughters, wives came out of the shadows to say me too. They'd been harassed, threatened, groped, ignored. And suddenly, Vanessa's story wasn't just hers anymore. It was ours. It was mine. Because in Vanessa, we saw every time we were told to stay quiet. Every time we were told to be grateful. Every time we were made to feel invisible, just for daring to wear the same goddamn uniform. Still, the army stalled. Investigations were ongoing. Questions were under review. The officers walked around with clipped tones and sanitized press releases while her mother cried on the base sidewalk, clutching a rosary like it was the only thing holding her together. And I watched all of it, helpless, sick, angry. Because deep down, I already knew what they wouldn't say out loud. Vanessa wasn't missing. She was gone. And someone on that base knew exactly where to find her. Chapter 2. the search that wasn't. It's one thing to lose someone. It's another thing entirely to watch the people who should be helping do nothing. The first few days after Vanessa disappeared were a fog of bureaucratic indifference and forced smiles from officers who couldn't fake concern even if their lives depended on it. The kind of people who knew how to follow protocol but not how to give a damn. I kept expecting someone in charge to step up, to bang on doors, to call in a full search unit, to admit that something dark was happening beneath our boots. But all I saw were stiff collars and emotionless briefings. A soldier was missing from a locked military base. And yet, there were no helicopters. No Amber Alerts. No urgency. They called it a possible AWOL situation. Like she'd just gotten bored and walked away from her life. But I couldn't stop thinking about the details. Her car still parked outside. Her phone dead. Her wallet, keys, and ID inside the fucking armory. Who disappears without their ID on a military base? No one. Not unless something was done to them. Word began spreading quickly, but not from command. From us. From people like me. People who saw the cracks forming long before the media arrived. We whispered through hallways, DM'd in secret. Some of us started searching ourselves, using our own time, our own energy. We knew we couldn't trust the system. And her family? God, they were relentless. Myra, Lupe, and their mother Gloria, they didn't give up. They showed up every single day. They stood outside the base, holding signs with Vanessa's face. They cried. They yelled. They prayed. They reminded us she wasn't just a soldier. She was a daughter, a sister, a human being. But the military didn't see her that way. Not really. To them, she was a case file. A line in a report. At one point, I overheard a superior say, "She'll turn up." They always do. I swear to God, I nearly threw a chair. What killed me most was knowing how many women had stories like hers. Women who had been harassed, cornered, groped, ignored. The whispers were always there, right beneath the surface. Vanessa had confided in her family before she vanished. She'd said someone at Fort Hood had been sexually harassing her. That she didn't feel safe. And guess what the army did when she reported it? Nothing. She never even filed a formal complaint, because she didn't trust the process. Because she knew it would only come back to haunt her. Because reporting harassment in the military often meant becoming the problem, not solving one. But that's what they wanted to bury. That's what they refused to admit. As the days dragged on, hashtag IamVanessaGuillen kept growing. It was like a bomb went off on social media. I'd never seen anything like it. Survivors came forward from every corner of the country. Women in uniform, past and present, flooding TikTok, Twitter, Facebook. Sharing their stories. Screaming their truth. And the army? They were still putting out generic press statements. We are cooperating with authorities. The investigation is ongoing. We are committed to the safety of all personnel. Bullshit. You could feel the ground shift beneath their feet, though. The pressure was building. Lawmakers were tweeting. Celebrities were speaking out. People were protesting outside the gates. But still no Vanessa. That second week, I started walking the perimeter of the base during off hours. Just walking. Listening. Looking. I didn't know what I was hoping to find. Clues, maybe. A piece of her. Or maybe I just needed to feel like I was doing something. Because that feeling of helplessness? It eats you alive. And then came the rumors. Someone saw her with a fellow soldier. Someone else said she was pregnant. Someone whispered about a fight in the armory. The stories changed by the hour, twisting and distorting like smoke. And the longer they dragged it out, the more it became clear. This wasn't just negligence. This was a cover-up. They weren't just failing to find her. They were hiding the truth. I remember sitting in my bunk late one night, staring at the ceiling, unable to sleep. I kept thinking, what if it were me? What if I vanished tomorrow? Would anyone fight for me the way they were fighting for her? Or would I just become another name on a missing person's board, quietly scrubbed from memory? And in that moment, I realized something that shook me to my core. Vanessa wasn't the first. She wasn't even the only one that year. Fort Hood had a fucking history, soldiers turning up dead, missing, abused. And no one outside the base ever seemed to know. Or care. But now, thanks to her family, thanks to the public outrage, thanks to those hashtags and live streams and unrelenting noise, the silence was breaking. Slowly. Painfully. But it was breaking. And we were about to uncover something so horrifying, it would change everything we thought we knew about what happened to her. Chapter 3. The Hammer and the Silence. There's a moment when the truth finally breaks through the cracks, and everything you thought you knew turns to ash. That moment came on June 30th, 2020. 70 fucking days. That's how long Vanessa Guillen had been missing. 70 days of waiting. 70 days of praying. 70 days of begging a system that didn't care to give a damn. And then, they found her. Well, parts of her. I remember the alert on my phone first. A vague article from a local outlet. Human remains discovered near the Leon River in Bell County. That's about 30 miles from the base. My stomach dropped. Something in my gut twisted the moment I read it. By midday, the area was swarming. FBI, Army, CID, local cops. Yellow tape fluttered in the Texas wind like six streamers at a funeral no one wanted to attend. The press tried to spin it as possible remains connected to an ongoing investigation. But we all knew. We knew. The next day they confirmed it. It was her. Or what was left of her. Her body had been dismembered, burned, and buried in cement under the dirt like trash. I didn't even cry. Not right away. I just sat there, still in uniform, hands shaking, listening to the news repeat the details over and over again like it was a football score. It was so fucking clinical. Like they weren't talking about a person. Like they weren't talking about her. Vanessa Guillen, 20 years old, full of fire, full of promise, had been killed. On base. On American soil. By one of our own. Let that sink in. Not by a foreign enemy. Not in combat. But here. By a fellow soldier. His name was SBC Aaron Robinson. And I'll never forget the first time I saw his face. He was quiet. Always a little too quiet. The kind of guy who made you uncomfortable without doing anything overt. Something behind his eyes always felt wrong. Cold. Detached. People said he was odd, intense. Some said he was harmless. But hindsight's a bitch. After Vanessa's disappearance, he became extra helpful. Offered to talk. Claimed he saw her leave. Said she was fine. Normal. But the more you watched him, the more you saw the cracks. It was the girlfriend, though, Cecily Aguilar, who finally helped unravel the whole twisted mess. She was the one who told investigators what really happened. And Jesus Christ, I wish I hadn't read the report. I wish I could unsee it. According to Cecily, Robinson bludgeoned Vanessa to death with a hammer. In the goddamn armory, while people were just feet away, she had seen something she wasn't supposed to. Maybe a photo. Maybe a phone message. Maybe she'd finally confronted him about the harassment. No one really knows. But she knew he was a predator. She told her family she didn't feel safe. She was right. Robinson killed her. Then stuffed her body into a Pelican case like she was cargo. He left the base once. Came back. Left again. Picked up Cecily. Together, they tried to erase her. Drove out to the Leon River. Chopped her body into pieces with a machete. Burned the remains. Then buried them in three different holes, like she was a problem they could scatter into the earth. Cecily claimed Robinson did it because he didn't want to go to jail. Didn't want to get in trouble. Didn't want people to know. So instead, he turned Vanessa into a secret. A secret he thought would stay buried forever. But the secret screamed louder than he expected. The world hadn't stopped looking. And now that we had answers, we wanted blood. When the police finally closed in on Robinson, he was staying at a hotel outside the base. Somehow, God knows how, they didn't cuff him right away. He was under surveillance, they said, being watched. And then, in the early morning hours of July 1st, he ran. He bolted from the hotel. And before anyone could catch him, he pulled a gun and shot himself in the head. Right there in the middle of the goddamn street. Dead. Just like that. Coward. He took the easy way out. Took the truth with him. The army tried to spin it, of course. We're continuing our investigation. We take this matter seriously. Bullshit. I watched Gloria Guillen scream, outside the gates of Fort Hood. I watched Myra collapse when they told her her sister was gone. I saw people light candles across the country, setting up vigils in cities they'd never been to for a girl they'd never met. Because it wasn't just Vanessa anymore. It was all of us. Every woman who'd been silenced. Every voice ignored. Every predator protected by the system. Vanessa's death was a match dropped in a fucking forest of dry lies and injustice. And the fire was only getting started. Chapter 4, We Are Vanessa Guillen. The day Vanessa's remains were confirmed, something shifted in the air. Not just for me. Not just for the women in uniform. But for the country. You could feel it ripple through social media, across state lines, through the halls of power. It wasn't just grief. It was rage. Pure, raw, unfiltered rage. And for once, it was loud enough that no one could ignore it. I remember scrolling through Instagram that night, unable to sleep. Every third post was her photo, those wide, hopeful eyes, that stubborn fire behind her smile. She was everywhere. TikTok flooded with clips of her family sobbing at the gates of Fort Hood. Twitter threads exposing years, decades, of military abuse. Facebook timelines filled with women in uniform sharing their stories. And every post bore the same name, over and over again. Hashtag I am Vanessa Guillen. What started as a cry from her family became a thunderclap that echoed around the world. Women, veterans, active duty, civilian contractors began to speak. They told the truth. Not the kind you find in official reports or scrub statements. The kind that lives behind locked doors and in quiet corners of bases, where fear outweighs justice. Stories of being followed back to their bunks, of waking up with bruises and no one to tell, of filing complaints that vanished into thin air, of commanders who smirked and said, "You sure you didn't misinterpret that?" And those who did report, they got punished, demoted, transferred, discredited, because in the military, the chain of command is sacred, and if your abuser outranked you, well, good luck. So when Vanessa died, we realized something horrible. She hadn't just been murdered. She'd been sacrificed. Not just by Robinson, not just by Cecily Aguilar, but by the very institution she served. An institution that failed to protect her. That allowed predators to hide behind rank and red tape. And now, we were done being quiet. The rally started small, just a few dozen people outside Fort Hood, holding signs with her photo. But within days, it became a tidal wave. Houston, LA, Chicago, DC, then New York, then across the border in Mexico. Thousands marching. Thousands demanding justice. Say her name. Justice for Vanessa. No more silence. I went to the one in Austin. I stood in the middle of the crowd, masked up, holding a cardboard sign that simply read, "She deserved to come home." People were crying, yelling, singing. Veterans showed up in full uniform. Mothers held photos of daughters who had suffered in silence. One woman stood on a makeshift stage and said into the mic, "I was raped on a base in 2003. I didn't speak because I was afraid, but not anymore. I am Vanessa Guillen." And the crowd roared. I wasn't ready for how much it hit me. I felt it in my bones, in my lungs. This wasn't just about justice. It was about survival. It was about truth. Because if Vanessa, disciplined, smart, beloved, could be ignored, covered up, erased, then what chance did the rest of us have? We were done asking. Now we were demanding. Congress couldn't hide from it either. The calls came flooding in. Letters. Emails. Protests outside Capitol buildings. Celebrities started weighing in. Politicians posted statements. The kind that drip with concern but reek of self-preservation. But this time, we weren't backing off. Vanessa's family flew to Washington, D.C. I watched it unfold live from my bunk. Her mother, Gloria, dressed in black, eyes sunken with grief, stood on the Capitol steps and spoke through a translator. She served this country with pride. And they let her die like a dog in the dirt. I'll never forget that sentence. It felt like a punch to the soul. Her sister Myra followed, and she didn't mince words. They ignored her. They ignored us. But we're not going away. We want real change. We want every soldier to feel safe. We want the people who covered this up held accountable. And for the first time in a long, long time, people listened. Lawmakers introduced the I Am Vanessa Guillen Act. A bill that would strip the military chain of command of the power to oversee sexual harassment and assault cases. It proposed independent investigators, real accountability. It was a start, but it wouldn't bring her back. Nothing could. That night, I walked alone down to the training fields. It was quiet, too quiet, the kind of silence that crawls over your skin. And I stood there and whispered her name into the wind. Vanessa. I didn't know if I believed in spirits or ghosts or anything like that. But I prayed she could hear us, that she knew she didn't die for nothing, because her voice, silenced with a hammer, had been resurrected 1,000 times over. In hashtags, in marches, in laws, in the raw truth spilling out from women who'd never had a safe place to speak, Vanessa became a symbol, a mirror, a scream, and for the first time we screamed back. Chapter 5, Echoes That Won't Fade. Some names never leave you. You say them out loud, and they feel like fire in your mouth. Vanessa Guillen was one of those names. Even now, years later, I still feel her presence when I close my eyes. Not just as a headline, not just as a rallying cry, but as a person, a girl with dreams, with a laugh I barely remember, but will never forget. A daughter, a sister, a soldier. Her body was buried. Her killer pulled the trigger on himself. The army scrambled to save face. But her story refused to die. In the months after her remains were found, the movement she inspired didn't fade. It grew stronger. What started as a single family's cry for help became a nationwide reckoning. A public peeling back of the rot inside military institutions that for too long had protected predators and punished survivors. The I Am Vanessa Guillen Act was signed into law in 2022. It wasn't perfect, but it was something. For the first time in decades, legislation aimed directly at military sexual harassment and assault policy was no longer a whisper in committee rooms. It was a battle cry inked into history. The law shifted the power structure. It created an independent process for handling claims. It removed the decision-making authority from commanding officers, the very people who had often failed to act. But none of it would have happened if Vanessa's family hadn't refused to be silent. I remember sitting alone in the chapel on base the week after the bill passed. There were no cameras, no press, just me and a row of empty pews. I was thinking about her. The last time I saw her, it was 2 weeks before she vanished. We were both grabbing lunch at the PX. She had her tray, and I remember how she smiled when she spotted a kid in uniform, probably ROTC or a younger recruit, trying to make sense of the vending machine. She walked over and helped him. Didn't say much. Just helped. Like it was second nature. Like kindness was stitched into her DNA. That memory crushed me. Because you realize in that moment how ordinary she was. And how extraordinary it was that she never got to be anything more. Sometimes I wonder what would have happened if she'd been born into a different system. One that listened. One that protected. One that didn't look at women like broken parts to be discarded. Would she have stayed in the army? Would she have gotten that promotion she talked about? Would she be here now, mentoring the next generation? Would she be married? Or would she have gotten out? Written a book? Built a business? Traveled? We'll never know. Because someone decided her voice didn't matter. And a system agreed with him. Her death wasn't just a tragedy. It was a failure. A moral collapse. But here's the thing about collapses. They leave cracks. And from those cracks, light can leak in. Her legacy? That's the light. The hashtag I Am Vanessa Guillen movement opened the floodgates. Thousands of women and men who had carried shame like a second skin finally found a space to speak. And I've heard their stories. Stories that curl your stomach and break your faith in humanity. But also stories of resilience. Of people who refused to stay down. Of people who fought back. They told the truth because Vanessa couldn't anymore. They screamed because her voice had been stolen. She became more than a hashtag. She became a promise. A promise that we would no longer accept silence. That we would no longer swallow the pain and pretend everything was fine. And even when the headlines moved on, we didn't forget. Fort Hood changed its name in 2023. It's now Fort Cavazos, named after Richard E. Cavazos, the first Latino four-star general in the U.S. Army. They said it was part of a broader effort to reflect the values of the modern military. But no renaming can wash away what happened there. That soil will always remember. Vanessa is buried now, at Houston National Cemetery. I made the trip there once. It wasn't a grand gesture. I didn't bring flowers. I didn't kneel. I just stood. I stood in front of the white marble marker with her name etched into it, and let the silence do the talking. I thought about how she probably thought she was safe. How she showed up to work that day with no idea it would be her last. How she fought to make it in a world that was never built for her. And how, even in death, she changed everything. Sometimes I still hear her name whispered on the wind when the base gets quiet. Like the echo of something that refuses to fade. And maybe that's the point. Maybe Vanessa was never meant to fade. Maybe she was meant to ignite. This is for Vanessa. For the girls who serve. For the women who speak. For the voices they tried to silence. You were not forgotten. You were not invisible. You were loved. And now you are legend.